This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1.
Welcome in the next 60 minutes. We bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sport action ahead. Tonight, queuing around the block as the first of the League Cup final tickets go on sale at Pittodrie. On the park, the Dons prepare for 3 games in 7 days. The first of those previewed in full as Aberdeen travel to face a team still looking for its first home win of the season. We're with the players and the manager in moments. Your thoughts as well on our topic and poll, plus the rest of the Scottish Premiership and beyond, along with rugby, the Winter Olympics and more, before Stu gives away that trip to Thailand on In Demand.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
But first, as always, to Pittodrie, where boss Derek McInnes, as usual, is taking absolutely nothing for granted.
It's a fixture that's been relatively kind to us this season already, but you know, make no mistake about it, every game's different and every point's getting more and more precious, you know, and I think Partick Thistle, I've been on record as saying that I think they're a very good side. If you give them time and space to play, they've got players that can affect the game for them and cause other teams problems. You know, I watched the game against Motherwell and I thought they were excellent from last weekend. I thought that no many teams go to Motherwell, score 3 goals as they did and play as well as they did. You know, so you know, I think they're in decent form. Obviously, they've not got the results to merit from their performance at times, but every time I've seen Thistle, I've been more than impressed, and we've got a job to do. We need to make sure that our level of performance is up. Regardless of any or opposition's form this season, I think we've always showed good focus and good concentration, and we feel as though the performance or the result will be determined most of the time by our performance. You know, and we feel as though that we've got to concentrate on that. But, you know, Thistle, the record they're on at the minute is surprising, but that won't stay forever. You know, it's going to change for them at some point. You would think, and we just need to make sure it's not against us on Saturday. We're in good away form, that's got to be said as well, you know, so you know, we're going into the game in good heart and plenty of confidence, but you know, every game is different. You know, the result just doesn't come to you, you've got to work for it, and the players are well aware of that. The issue for us at the minute is just to make sure that the focus is there. You know, there's a lot to be excited about, and you know, the cup competitions has took a lot of the attention on the team, but we don't play in the cup for a couple of weeks. We've got important league games in between, and we've got to make sure that while everybody else is looking forward to cups and talking about it, which is they're quite right to do that, you know, but for us it's a concentration on the job in hand, and you know, we want to maintain the consistency we've shown in the league throughout the season, and we've got to maintain that right to the end. If we're going to be successful through a league campaign, we can't come off at any point, so hopefully we can keep the consistency we've shown, keep the spark to our play, keep the energy to our play, keep the intensity to our play, and if we bring the right tempo and appetite for the game, we'll make it difficult for Thistle on Saturday.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave McDermott, and tonight Andrew Shiny in for Dave Galloway, who's been carrying an injury for a couple of weeks now. We took the decision, we just didn't want to risk him so near to the final, so he's being rested this evening, but I'm sure he's listening to the show. We haven't sent him abroad. He's not on a sun-kissed beach or anything. He's not Ryan Gold, and we're most definitely not Dundee United. Now, gents, I think it might have been Alec McLeish who coined the phrase winning ugly during his Ibrox tenure, but we kind of made that our own last weekend at St Mirren, so I don't really want to dwell too much on it other than to say in previous seasons we probably have come back up with a no-score draw at best and not the win. So encouraging enough and still on target in the league campaign, Dave.
Yeah, it's great to be still fighting very much on all three fronts at this stage of the season. And last week it wasn't a great game. It was always going to be a bit flat after the excitement of the previous two matches. And the good thing is another late goal. Another goal that I think Danny Lennon obviously was watching a different game from
Danny
the
Lennon's
one.
Danny Lennon's always watching indeed a different game.
I thought again it was just the pace of Peter Pollock caused the problem. Jemba just was too slow for him. It looked a stonewall penalty. You can argue. Well, I thought it was on the line. You know, it was a penalty. Full stop.
Surprising.
Adam Rooney put it away for his third goal. And I was really pleased, and I think Derek, as he said, he was delighted that was almost as pleasing as the previous two wins, because it would have been easy to let your standards drop. And again, same tomorrow, we've just got to go out there and show the right attitude. And if we do that, we're a better team than Thistle. If we do that, we'll get the 3 points.
Yeah, goal again for Adam Rooney, who's settled in remarkably well, as he explains to Red TV's Mal Panton for North Someone's Friday Sport.
It's obviously been brilliant. Obviously came in against Motherwell and managed to get involved in the 2-2 draw, where I thought we played very well and were unlucky enough to get 3 points, and then obviously had two big cup games and great win against St John's to get to the final. Then obviously to follow it up with knocking Celtic out of the other cup as well, and then to top her off last week with 3 points to keep us second in the league. So it's been a great start for us, and hopefully that continues.
One thing that's amazed everybody is just how quickly you've settled in, just in, on and off the park. Could you imagine it going as well as that?
No, well, obviously you hope for the best and you hope to hit the ground running, but no, it's a great group of lads and they're very welcome. Gaffer and Doc very good at helping lads integrate into the squad. You can see the same with Shea, who's just come in as well. So, and Tatey, who's not been here long but seems like he's been here forever. So like, the lads are great at helping lads settle down, and everyone around the club's been very helpful, which always helps.
Yeah, but settling in off the park is, you know, is a massive part of things going well on the park, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's, as I said, there's a great dressing room there, great bunch of lads, there's a good banter in the group, good work ethic, and always helps. Then training's a very high standard and demands are made of each other, but the work that Gaffer and Doc do as well helps everyone understand what's wanted on the field. So it's been a good start, and hopefully that continues.
Genuinely, when you go into work at Pittodrie of a morning, Dave, does it feel like downtown Dublin?
Sometimes it does, yes. I don't understand a word anybody's saying.
There is a bigger Irish contingent than Scots, isn't it? Well, he arrived with a ready-made chant, checking in before him, and it's like he's always been here. Adam Rooney already justified his purchase in your eyes, Andrew?
Absolutely. I think he's been the catalyst for the Dons to step up another level. Particularly in the game against Celtic. He didn't have the greatest of games at St Mirren Park last week. He was guilty of giving the ball away a couple of times, and perhaps he should have squared the ball for Niall McGinn to roll in a second goal, but then Niall himself should have been a wee bit more concentrated in what was happening instead of throwing his arms up in horror at the fact that Adam didn't play it to him, because he could have rolled in a tap in from the second ball into the middle. But that's sort of, you know, nitpicking. He took the penalty very well, won the game. But yes, the game at Celtic Park impressed me most, because he was up against Effie Ambrose and Virgil van Dijk, who love to break from central defence into midfield, and all of a sudden you're flooded out there. But
excuse me, don't use the flood word.
No pun intended.
No pun intended whatsoever. But Adam Rooney, his presence alone was enough to make sure that they didn't do that, and ensured that Aberdeen won that midfield battle, and that's what won the match for them. But yeah, he's a goal scorer. He looks the business. He's disgusted when he doesn't score goals, and that selfish element that he's got to him is exactly what you want from a striker.
Yeah, it's a good time to bring on the Friday Sport poll. Rooney on how many goals currently, Andrew?
3, as Dave so correctly told us earlier on.
Enjoys the stat, Andrew. That's an easy one for the likes of him. Our poll this week asks, can Adam Rooney reach 15 goals this season? I'm assuming what they're taking that on is based on the fact that he'll have half a season and 30 would be a good
goal.
Anyway, can Adam Rooney reach 15 goals this season? You can find the poll on Aberdeen Mad each week, and this week entitled Talk of the Rune. Nicely done. But before we see what you thought, let me ask Dave and Andrew, will Adam Rooney score 15 this season? I'll come to you next, Dave, because you'll probably have him scoring 50 this season.
More than likely, yeah. Well, he's scored 3 and 4 so far. He's got a potential 17 games to go, 13 more league games, League Cup final, a potential 3 Scottish Cups.
How many minutes on the park is that?
17 times 90.
Well, it depends whether there's extra time, of course.
Exactly, yes. I think it's a tall order, but having seen what he's like, how, you know, if there's a penalty, it's going to be very interesting when he and Barry Robson are in the same park at the same time to see who gets the ball.
I would put money on Barry Robson right now.
I think I might do as well. I think 15 is perhaps a tall order, but if there's a player that you could think it's worth a wee punt on, as long as you're not involved with a football club, of course, because football club people are not allowed to bet.
That's Dave coming off his Paddy Power account right this minute.
I think He might. I would tend to go for a dozen rather than 15. But I'd be delighted to see him score 15.
Is it 7 o'clock yet?
Dave?
I think it is a tall order, and I think the goals are being shared around the squad as well, which is obviously a positive. I think if he gets into double figures, it's a fantastic achievement, given he only arrived in January. So I think he'll get into double figures, but possibly 15 is a wee bit too much.
So, the poll. Will Adam Rooney reach the 15-goal mark for the Dons this season? Closer than our usual polls, which are usually like 90-something percent sure. This one rather more tentative in its response. Will Adam Rooney reach the 15-goal mark for the Dons this season? No. Say 42.5% of you, yes. The overriding 57.5%. No, says ill. I think he'll reach double figures but finish in about 11 or 12, which will still be a good return. SMSW reckons 15 might just be too much, but he's potentially 18 games to do it.
Where's this 18th game come from?
Andrew says 17. I reckon he'll definitely get double figures and said that when we signed him. Lockerville Fed 1903, don't see why not. He's a class player in a league full of dung defenders. I had him for first goal at the weekend. Let that run continue. Goggs, 1958. Maybe if he were to keep taking penalties, there would be a chance, but I would give them back to Robson, as his are unstoppable. And finally, for now, with Ole Ole, who says, no, 15 might be a bit too much to ask in his first season with us, but he'll give it a good go. Already on his way to cult status with the Dandies and the terrific signing by Derek. If you'd like to get involved, then do. Our topics and polls are online from about midweek onwards in any given week. You'll find them at Aberdeen Mad, and then hear some of your chat in the show at the weekend right here on North Sun One's Friday Sport. We're previewing Partick Thistle versus Aberdeen in the Scottish Premiership tomorrow, ahead of a home tie against Celtic in the league on Tuesday. We'll hear from Partick boss Alan Archibald in a moment, as well as Don's Joe Shaughnessy right here, just ahead on Friday Sport. From North Sound 1.
North Sound 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
Partick Thistle versus Aberdeen tomorrow afternoon. Jags boss Alan Archibald still to witness his side win at home in the league this year. I know tomorrow is going to be difficult against a resolute Dons defence.
I think that's been their building this year. That's how they're so strong. I think their back four and the two guys in front of them have been fantastic for them, and that's the experience that brings. But we've got to find ways of breaking them down, and I'm sure we will. I think we showed that last week against a similar side in Motherwell. With that experience, and we showed that, and if we can get the compromise of keeping it tight at the back, we've got a chance in the game.
Beavering away in that Don's defence, or anywhere else when called upon, as Aberdeen's Joe Shaughnessy, putting final frenzy to one side and Premiership campaign paramount.
It's all part of, you know, being a professional footballer, and you just, you know, you got to take the next game and concentrate on the league. You know, we want to do really well in the league as well as in the cups, and you know, we have another couple of weeks before we have to play in the cup again, so just back concentrating on the league and just do what we need to do. Yeah, everyone outside of the club will be, you know, thinking what's going on there, but that's not the case within the players. You know, we know how good they are and how good they're playing, and I think they've just been unlucky not to get a lot more wins the way they've been playing. So, you know, we'll go down there expecting as hard a game as we've had in the last few weeks.
Dirk McInnes talks about everybody playing their part in the squad, and he seems to have sold it to this group of players that they are all vital, they will be called upon at some stage, and when they are, they've got to be ready and committed from the outset. And Joe probably falls into that category just now. Competition for places in his usual area of the park, but he just gets on with it when he's called upon, doesn't he, Dave?
Yeah, he's a good player, and you know, he really, when he got the sending off at Motherwell, he was a stick on it right back up until then, and then he kind of, as happens, of course, the players that came in took their chance, and of course, he was suspended for the next round of the League Cup, and in came Shea Logan, has looked the part at right back, and it's been difficult for Joe. He got a game last week, but as the manager said, lots of games, 17 games, potentially 18 if there's a replay against Dumbarton. Let's hope
that's
not.
Heaven forbid.
He'll be involved. You know, he's got a lot of football to be played this season, as have the whole of the squad.
Another thing that Derek's clearly made abundantly obvious in his pre-match preparation is that Partick aren't a bad side. He said it in his opening remarks in the show. Joe's reiterated it there, and there's never any room for complacency. But should the Dons have enough to see a Partick tomorrow, Andrew?
I think they have, certainly. I mean, we're just looking back to the previous meetings of the sides this season. We went down there in September, off the back of an indifferent start to the season, a couple of wins, then a couple of defeats, a nervous penalty shootout against Alloa in the League Cup, a nothing each against St Johnstone, and Thistle were getting lots of plaudits, deservedly so for the way that they'd started the season. But we went down there and we blew them off the park 3-0. Mm. And then it was the same story at Pittodrie. They played a lot of good football, but the end result, 4-0 to Aberdeen. And then
after the keeper got a call up to the Scotland squad.
Well, that was possibly the worst thing that happened to Scott Fox, because since then, of course, he's been dropped by Thistle. Then we had the cup tie down there, which was always going to be a difficult game, but we got the early goal. Wasn't a great game, but we saw it through, and that's all that you need to do in the cup. So I think we've got the Indian sign over Partick Thistle this season. They've played lots of good football, but they let in far too many goals, and that was last week was symptomatic of what Thistle's season's been like. They played some good stuff, scored a great goal by Callum Higginbottom, which, you know, had that been scored by a high profile player down in the English Premiership, it would never have been off television. Mm. It was that good a goal. But when it came to, you know, when push came to shove, can you defend a 3-2 lead going into the last 5 minutes of the game?
Answer no.
Answer a big resounding no. And unfortunately, Lee Mayer caught both times. So he'll be desperate to do his stuff against
bring
his
in Piccolo,
old side.
Drop Lee Mayer.
that's been their problem, though. Central defence has been a major problem for Thistle this year. Going forward, they look quite decent. Although, when it gets to the last third, until Lyle Taylor came in and Chris Doolan sort of went off the boil, he's their top scorer, they haven't looked that dangerous. But Aberdeen overall are a better package than Partick Thistle, and I see them winning there tomorrow.
We'll get your predictions in a moment. First, let's tackle this week's topic, or rather not so much tackle as bask in the reflected glory of Willow Flood, who posed for a photo earlier today next to the flood sign that someone had hurriedly marker-penned Willow onto. Loved it. Anyway, on Aberdeen Mad Like This from SMW, SPFL goal of the month, and he simply says Willow Flood's screamer against Hibs, and attached the YouTube video of it, which you can watch from now until doomsday and just not get sick of, unless you're Terry Butcher, of course. Dave, got your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, Red Ross says, yep, well done, Willow. Pity it wasn't enough to get into Martin O'Neill's Irish squad. And from Aurora Borealis, doesn't work in radio this one. Great video, that. Last 10 seconds with the sheep on fire. Sounds amazing. Ail, well deserved. Mind you, I didn't want him shooting after his earlier shot in that match, if you remember. It wasn't quite so impressive. From Lochilphead, no, you obviously don't, the blank looks I'm getting. Lochilphead, 1903. Well deserved. Take a bow, Willow. Stuka, 1903. Don't think anyone realised how good a player Wee Willow is until he joined the Dandies. Never realised how much he does off the ball, and in particular that game against Hibs, he bossed the midfield and was rewarded with that peach of a goal. From one Brian Irvin, spotted this other SPFL video, their take on our best five goals last season. Forgot how good Reynolds and Joshers were, but what struck me most was the pitch. Check the nick of it in the Dundee game. Take a bow, new pitch. And that's a good reflection on the work that Fiske and the rest of the team do. And finally, from Kingdom Red, to be fair, nobody's played on it for more than a month. No wonder it's looking so good. And again, I would just reiterate the work that the guys do. They really do take a huge professional pride in the
And they're never without a pitchfork in their hands.
That's ready for anybody that actually walks on it.
just be careful.
Yeah, it's invitation only to get onto the grass.
it's predicted Eric time. These are the 11 men who you think will start for the Dons against Partick Thistle tomorrow afternoon. Dave the Elder, Dave McDermott, will start with you.
Right, I've lost the... Ah, here it is. Langfield, Logan Anderson, Reynolds, Considine, Pollitt, Flood, Robson, Hayes, McGinn, Rooney.
I've gone for the same side. Apart from one change, I'm going to rest Shea Logan. Save me calling him Young Logan all the way through the commentary.
Or Shaman, as you were calling him last week.
Yes, I know.
He
is good, but I'm going to rest him this week and put Joe Shaughnessy in it right back.
It's going to tickle me for a little while, that. Logan.
He also, there was one when you she, and you, for goodness sake, give us his name.
Wasn't conspirational.
Okay, the one to watch, the man who'll potentially make the difference, the result for the Dons. I'm going to bet that it's not Shea Logan for Andrew's side. But,
no, it isn't.
Andrew, we'll go with you first this time.
I'm going to go for Niall McGinn because he'll be desperate to break this goal drought of his. His last goal came up at Inverness on the 21st of December. He's since then had 10 starts and no goals. And...
Do you know, I'm sure it wasn't troubling him that much until he heard you say that just now.
Sure, it wasn't, but it would be nice to see him get back in the score sheet, because if nothing else, it'll shut up some of these idiots that think he should be dropped, to think that he's not pulling his weight. I mean, he contributes so much more to the team than just goals.
Mm. Particularly where he's being played as well.
Absolutely. But I'd like to see Niall back in the score sheet tomorrow, so I think he could be the one to watch.
How quickly they forget.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Dave.
I'm going to go for Adam Rooney. And if he gets on the score sheet, that would be up to 4 goals. But even at 3 goals, there can't be many players that, when they make their home debut, have actually scored 3 times for the first team. So I'm sure there's a stat in there somewhere that Andrew could
me up all night now, hunting through 111 years of history.
I can think of a player who scored a hat-trick on his debut at Pittodrie, but that's about it, I think.
Ah, but that was at Pittodrie. This is somebody away.
Well, he said scored 3 goals by the time he comes out of
Pittodrie. Hans Hillhouse?
He scored 2 in his debut, and then his second game was against Rangers.
Right, okay. Silly me for even questioning it.
Absolutely.
Moving on, lads, we're here till 7.
Rooney.
So Rooney, and finally a scoreline for the match. Partick Thistle versus Aberdeen. Andrew.
2-0 to the Dons.
2-0 to the Dons.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. No, am I going to 2-0 to the Dons?
No, I'm going to say 3.
Okay.
Don't ask me why. You're North to One's Friday Sport. We'll look at the rest of the Premiership matches in just a moment.
North Sound 1, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmure and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sport.
To the other matches, the first not long after we finish this evening, Dundee United welcome Motherwell to Tannadice in a 7:45 kickoff. Scotland call-up Andy Robertson expects a tough one.
Motherwell were doing really well just now, and since we kind of went to Fir Park and beat them comfortably, they've kicked on and they've not dropped any points since then, so it'll be a tough game. They like to play football, so it'll be a big test for us.
Stuart McCall remembers that defeat at Fir Park well, but isn't dwelling on it.
No, I think it was one of them days, and in fairness, they played very well. We had our, three of the recognised back four out, and we had to then make a change at half time. Full credit to them on the day. They were excellent, which they can be. I think there were reasons for us being, maybe not at his best.
Dundee United versus Motherwell, Dave. 4-0 at Fir Park to Dundee United. When they were really riding that crest of a wave, it wouldn't be the worst thing from a Don's point of view if they could get a result from Motherwell tonight, would it?
Yeah, it keeps us in second going into tomorrow if they were. And Motherwell, quite a number of injury doubts, so it'll be interesting to see what team they feel. But I'm going to go for a home win and hoping that United will do us a favour. 2-0.
The lunchtime kickoff on Saturday sees Bottom welcome Top as Hearts meet Celtic. And if there's gloom on the park at Tynecastle, things off it seem to finally be looking up. And Gary Locke approves.
It's a great thing for Heart and Midlothian that Ange Kirk are going to come in. Hopefully everything will sort itself out in Lithuania. But the fact that, Ange's going to come in and take the club forward is fantastic for everyone.
Celtic boss Neil Lennon has a degree of sympathy for his counterparts.
Well, it's been a very tough year for Hearts. It's been very tough for Gary and Billy. They got a great point at Inverness last week, so they're still, fighting away. They've had, a lot of low blows over the course of the season.
Hearts versus Celtic, Andrew. Stranger things have happened, I suppose.
I suppose. Is there a game going on? Because neither manager seems to want to talk about it. But Celtic in their last 4 visits to Tynecastle, the combined score is Hearts 1, Celtic 18. But it's going to be a major surprise if Hearts get anything out of this. But I hope that they score in the first half hour of the game, because that will maintain Bobby Clark's record of shutouts. Fraser Forster needs to keep a clean sheet for another 31 minutes. So Hearts score in the first 30 minutes, but I think you'll get beat.
Kilmarnock welcome Hibs. Boss Terry Butcher making a rallying call to his men to try and salvage something from this season, even if it's only pride.
It's not about quality, it's about winning. It's about 3 points. We've got no more cup matches left to play. We just got 8 cup finals before the split, and then another 5 after that. But we want those 5 after that to be in the top flight rather than in the bottom 6. So to do that and achieve that, we have to win as many games as we can out of the 8.
Killie's Sandy Clark hoping to try and pull closer in the league to their guests.
There's 4 teams really, really scrambling to make sure they're not in that playoff. We're ahead of them at the moment, but we're really aware that a couple of bad results will be back right in amongst it. So as I said, winning games is important, and if we can win this one on Saturday, then we can maybe look a wee bit closer to Hibs.
Kilmarnock versus Hibs, Dave.
Can't separate them. I think it'll finish 1-1.
Ross County are home to St Mirren, knowing a win would see them leapfrog Danny Lennon's men in the table. Staggies parting company with Kevin McCashin this week, who signed on a 2-year deal, but has failed to score in 16 matches for the club. Derek Adams unable to turn down the fee, mourning the world's demand for immediate results.
We maybe see that younger players are playing. People just have to be a wee bit patient, but society is not that anymore. Society is quick changing and instant success is wanted.
Good evening and welcome to Question Time from Dingwall.
Absolutely.
Ross County versus St Mirren, Andrew.
Well, looking at this fixture, goals likely because there's been 20 between the sides in their last five top flight matches. Ross County haven't drawn at home, St Mirren haven't drawn away. I don't think it will be a draw tomorrow. I think that this new look Ross County side will just shade it 2-1.
Okay, probably end up being something like 5-4, won't it?
Probably.
Inverness are at home to St Johnstone in a week where Gordon Strachan announced another Scotland squad for a friendly against Poland. John Hughes thinks a contender for a place should have been Graeme Shinney.
He's got a massive future. If there was anyone in the Inverness squad, and I'm only sort of maybe mentioning Shinney because it's that left back slot, Gordon should be having a look at him, that's for sure. He's a wonderful talent, and it's only now what I'm seeing the best of him in that role, that rampage, and up and down the left hand side.
Could have been a number three. Inverness versus St Johnstone, Dave. Let's just get the prediction and then I'll unleash you on the Scotland squad, Andrew.
Yes, I think another point apiece. Two good sides, I think, two apiece.
Okay, and on the Scotland squad, I imagine the glaring omission that you'd have from the selection yet again would be Mark Reynolds, but we made the argument last week for Peter Pollitt possibly being introduced. Jimmy Langfield should have been in there before now. This happened last time, actually. The Scotland squad was selected, and we mentioned this earlier. Langers didn't get in, Partick's keeper did. We promptly slotted someone like four past him 2 days later. So Scotland squad, bearing in mind that we're only on until seven, Andrew, your thoughts?
Very disappointed that Gordon Strachan and Mark McGee don't appear to rate players who play in the top flight in Scotland. Looking at the selection, obviously we're looking at Mark Reynolds' position, centre-back. Gordon Greer in the squad, not even getting a game for Brighton. Grant Hanley playing in the Championship with Blackburn Rovers, not exactly pulling up any trees. Likewise, Christoph Berra at Ipswich Town. And Alan Hutton, don't get me started on Alan Hutton, he doesn't even get a game for anybody, but he's in the Scotland squad. It appears to be more difficult to get out of the Scotland squad than it is to get into it. Now, these two guys are employed by the Scottish Football Association, but they seem to spend all their time just looking at English-based players and trying to unearth people that nobody's ever heard of. Now and again, you're going to get a good one. But, you know, where's the incentive for home-based players to stay at home? If you were Mark Reynolds, you're thinking, I'm playing some great football, I'm in a team that's second top of the league, we're in a cup final, we're in the quarterfinals of the other cup, having beaten Celtic. What have I got to do? Do I have to say, right, we're going to move back down south and play at possibly a slightly lower level in terms of leagues, but, you know, that way I would get noticed for the Scotland team. I think Scottish Football Association should be promoting the game in Scotland, first and foremost, and their national team should be more of a sort of look at the Scottish game. We've got four players in this squad who ply their trade in Scotland. That's a really poor...
And how many of those do you think will actually play?
Well, James Forrest might get a game because apparently he's better than Peter Pollitt. So it would
personally
appear.
I'm delighted that there's no Aberdeen players in this squad.
Andrew and I were saying this, yes. And Willow didn't get called up for Ireland.
From a purely selfish point of view, I totally agree with you.
Sorry, guys.
But it is, and I think John Hughes has got a point. Graeme Shinney has been very impressive, but if there's been a better player in that position than Peter Pollitt this season, we haven't seen him. Jamie, what else has he got to do in terms of shutouts? Mark Reynolds has been Mr. Consistency. There was a quote from Gordon Strachan saying it's based on Andrew Robertson got his call up because based on his play over the last 7 months, not just two or three games. Yeah, now, Mark Reynolds has been absolutely outstanding from start to finish this season.
I mean, I don't want to take anything
away. I'm
glad
that he's not been called up yet.
I don't want to take anything away from the people that have got call-ups. I mean, that's outstanding for them and for their careers, but it does seem a little bit suspicious. Let's say that Mark Reynolds, for instance, hasn't been given a call-up. Anyway, we're not the guys that are in charge. They are, for now. This is Northern One's Friday Sport. We've got rugby, plus a look at today's events in the Winter Olympics, and more football to come. That's first. In Scotland's League Two, Peterhead have gone about their business to the point of having a 10-point cushion at the top of that table. Tomorrow, they're up against Cup giant killers Albion Rovers. Blues home boss Jim McAnally taking nothing for granted.
You know how tough a game it's going to be. I mean, I watched theirs. Cup win against Stenhousemuir a couple of weeks ago, and the pitch looked really heavy. And I think there's been a lot of rain down Glasgow this week. So, you know, you're going to need to go there and you're going to need to win your battles. And but, you know, we're quite capable of doing that. We've already played there this year and we've done well. So, you know, we'll go there and we know what to expect, but we also know that we'll need to match their commitment.
In the Hurling League, Broader Rangers still in pole position following a 2-1 win at Harlow Park over Inverurie Locos last weekend. They're 4 points clear of Nairn County, but this is a typical sort of statistic the Hurling League throws out. 4 points clear of Nairn County in second, but they played four games less as their dominance starts to show. The Cataracs at home to second bottom Strathspey Thistle tomorrow afternoon. Bucky Thistle host Turriff United. Third place for Martin United are at Clack. Cove take on Inverurie Locos. Forest Mechanics welcoming bottom club Fort William. Devon Vale at Fraserburgh. Lossiemouth host Keith. Nairn County hoping to stay in contention at the top with a win over Rothes. Wick Academy with their new manager welcome Huntley side with new boss Greg Carroll laying down the law.
We also learned very quickly about discipline and how we want to move the club forward. And I've said a few of them, they either change their attitude, they want to be there. I'm not messing about with them, they've had two warnings already for me.
And in the juniors, Dave.
There are seven ties in the last 16 of the GA Engineering Interregional Cup. Bridgerton Thistle are at home to Downfield, although that one's actually being played at Spain Park just along the road. Hermes travel to Broughty Athletic. Devon side take on Kirriemuir Thistle. Dice at home to Montrose Rosalie. That should be a cracker. Isle of Vale against Dundee's Craigie. Parkvale travel to Lochie United. And Banksiddy also on the road at Lunkerty. In the PMAC Group Super League, Bankery St Tiernan at home to New Elgin. Maud travel to East End. It's Ellen United against unbeaten Cooter, and Stonehaven entertain Longside. First Division East, Cruden Bay versus Glen Tanner. Fraserburgh United at home to Sunnybank. Lewis United welcome Colony Park, and Newmarket United host Buckenhaven Hearts. First Division West, Buggy Rovers versus Nairn St Ninian. White Hills travel to Burkhead Thistle. Forest Thistle against Dufftown, and finally Inverness City at home to Fochabers.
You're on North Someone's Friday Sports. Still to come ahead of In Demand at 7, we chat rugby, the Winter Olympics and English football. Keep it North Someone's Friday Sport.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend's sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
Just coming on 10 to 7, and in England it could all be change at the top and bottom of the Premier League once again this weekend. The race for the title to avoid relegation as well this season remains tight. George Alderman reports for Friday Sport.
Chelsea know they can keep their position at the top of the Premier League table with a win over Everton at Stamford Bridge in the lunchtime game. Should they lose, Arsenal or Manchester City could find themselves in their place at the summit. Both sides will hope to bounce back from disappointing Champions League defeats in midweek as Arsenal take on Sunderland and City host Stoke. Manchester City boss Manuel Pellegrini is confident the controversial 2-0 loss to Barcelona won't affect their performance.
Their minds are clear that we are fighting for the title of the Premier League and we must continue doing till the end. So I don't think that this will be a psychological link between one competition and the other.
Cardiff have the chance to move out of the relegation places by beating Hull, while bottom side Fulham go to West Brom for new manager Felix Magath's first game in charge. A win could take them to within a point of safety. Magath says a draw won't be good enough.
They need especially a victory. You can work as good as you can. If you don't win, the players will not believe that they can win. So the most important thing are 3 points.
Elsewhere, West Ham entertain Southampton, while champions Manchester United round off Saturday's action at Crystal Palace in the evening kickoff. Liverpool will hope to keep up the pressure on the top three when they host Swansea on Sunday lunchtime. Tottenham can consolidate fifth with a victory at Norwich, and Aston Villa go to Newcastle.
Rugby, and as often happens in our climate, this time of year, because of cancellations, Aberdeen Grammar are simply looking for match practice tomorrow when they travel to face Glasgow Hawks. Grammar skipper Greg Ryan.
We've not played much rugby this year, and this is just an extra warm-up game because ideally the league is where we want to be. We want to stay up in Premier One. We've got 3 games to do it, so fingers crossed, you know, we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of a game can you expect?
You know, they've got quite a few EDA young professionals and pros playing, so it'll be a fast and physical game, but our guys are up to it. You know, we've matched everyone, you know. We've lost games by 1 or 2 points, which we should have closed out, but no, looking forward to it. It should be a really good game.
stand by, rant fans, because I think Andrew might be about to go off on one again. And the Winter Olympics, a slightly disappointing end to the curling for Britain's men, who never reached their best in the final, but achieving a silver medal as it went down to Canada, which is a fantastic result overall for Dave Murdoch's team. Skater Elise Christie having the worst luck when it looked like she'd be advanced through to the final of the 1,000 metres after being taken out by a Chinese skater as she made her move through the field in the closing stages. But instead, both she and the Chinese skater penalised for her part in that, which appeared ridiculous, but what do I know? And you can't appeal it, can you?
You can't, and it was the most...
It's like the two yellows, red
thing.
Yeah,
absolutely awful decision, and you really... I mean, questions should be asked. As followers of speed skating all my life,
I just think... I'll be lighting a strongly worded letter to the Federation.
Indeed, but that poor lassie, I mean, how much is that going to affect her? Because she has just had...
She's had real pelters,
yeah. And then our Twitter account, she had all the trolls after her. Okay, the first time, but what was the difference between that when she got penalised and in her first event, and that was a 1500, and then of course she missed the 500 by about 2 centimetres going over the finishing line. But she was clearly, it was the Chinese skater clearly took her out from behind, and that was unbelievable decision, and you feel heart sorry for her. You know, even some of our referees would have seen that. It was that bad.
Let's not go too far. Let's not go overboard.
I believe Craig Thompson was in charge of the panel that penalised her.
There was evidence at the review that is only available to them, so I'm told.
All right.
So they get extra
Vincent
video.
Lunny is on the case, that's all I'm saying.
I think what they have to do is come out and explain their decision, because to the three of us who know diddly squat about speed skating, it looked a blatant miscarriage of justice. Now, there might have been something that happened earlier on that caused Elise Christie to be penalised, but we couldn't see it.
Well, it's just cutting a hole in the ice in a sort of wacky racist style.
But they need to come out and explain it, otherwise, you know, it's this... there'll be conspiracy theories all over the place that Russia are in cahoots
seeing
with China.
That, well, also, there was two Chinese skaters out the four, remember?
Yes.
So one of them went through because she finished last and went through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm saying nothing more than that.
I wouldn't, Dave. No, we'll probably be monitored as we speak.
Yeah, don't bother going for a carry out for your tea tonight, Dave.
let's look briefly at some other of the stories that have been knocking around regarding Aberdeen this week. The ticket arrangements for the cup final, first of all.
Yeah, today the queue started at the back of 6 at Pittodrie. And it's just been all day. It's just been a long, long queue of season ticket holders who were eligible, apart from black and gold yesterday, season ticket holders today. And speaking to the guys, reckon by close of business in about 5 minutes time, we've probably shift around almost 8,000 tickets will have gone already, which is fantastic.
Fantastic indeed. And I sincerely hope that they were pumping like Friday Sport out the club shop door just keep their spirits high.
Hopefully. And I believe Inverness have just... got their 100th ticket sold today as well. So.
Oh, don't.
That's true.
I actually felt, when they went on about the allocation, I actually felt that they had a point. But
common sense prevailed in the end. It was the SPFL, both clubs had agreed, and then Inverness, when we went public with it on Monday night, then all of a sudden Inverness fans obviously saw it, and their chairman then came in on their behalf, and it was the right decision that you know, to have us with three. It's better for us as well with the three sides, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they had a point, but in the end I didn't care, so that was okay.
Indeed.
I'm over it. I slept okay. No, as far as our weekend coverage is concerned,
Jim is at Cove against Inverurie Locos up at Allen Park, which should be a fantastic one. We're back to, of course, a normal 3 o'clock kick-off, so Dave, Andrew and myself will be heading down to Firhill for that one. Full commentary over on Red TV, and we'll have inserts into the programmes here on North Sound 1. Kickoff is at 3 o'clock.